Scripture reading for today is Genesis 32, 22 through 30. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When that man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not, unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, IBC. That story from Genesis chapter 32 is one of the stories from the Old Testament that I call the Old Testament X-File stories. You know that old TV show about aliens and space invaders and all the stuff? And I'm going to move this because I'm going to drop kick it right in your lap if I don't. It's a weird story. Here's Jacob wrestling with this guy by the river, and he gets his hip put out of joint, and then he gets blessed, and the rest is history. And I'm going, what on earth is going on there? Let me just tell you what's going on there. This is a wonderful Old Testament story that is ripe with wonderful truth from God for his people. And if you're a follower of Christ this morning, you've given your life to Jesus and you're following him through life and you're desiring to spend your life serving him and building a family and a ministry and a career that is God-honoring and God-centered, this message is for you. Because in this message from the story of Jacob wrestling at the river Jabbok, which literally means wrestle river, this message from this story that is so weird from the Old Testament basically contains two elements. It contains an element of really good news, and it contains an element of kind of bad news. But the bad news actually feathers back into some more good news. So it's really 2-1. It's two good newses versus one bad one sandwiched in between. And it's all good news for those of you who are followers of Christ and who are desiring to spend your life honoring him. Now, if you're here this morning, visiting with us, whatever, and you have not yet given your life to Christ, you're not quite ready to stop kicking the tires and make that commitment, I'm so glad you're here too, because you're going to get, in this sermon, Christianity 101 about how God deals with his children. You're going to want to know all about this before you become one of his children too. So, the good news, God wants to bless your socks off. That's the good news. God is not looking for reasons to harm you. His heart is for you. He wants to bless you. That's the good news. You want to know what the bad news is? Before he blesses you, he first has to break you. He has to break your pride. Because if he breaks your pride, that opens the way then for his blessings to flow. That's what the story of Jacob wrestling by the river Jabbok is. Let's take another look at the story. Let me just read a little bit. And don't be distracted. There's a leak. I know it's dripping right down in front here. If any of you want to be baptized, just come stand here while I'm preaching. Genesis 32, 22. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. Now, let's stop. You know what's going on here. If you were with us last week, we studied Genesis chapter 28 where Jacob, is leaving home to go up to Haran, up to the north, to flee away from his brother Esau, whose birthright he's just ripped off. And Esau was a SEAL Team 6 member. He was an outdoorsman. He was a fighter. He was good with weapons. And whenever Jacob stole his birthright, Esau wanted to get literally a pound of flesh out of his brother. So he fled. And last week we saw him fleeing. We saw him in the middle of the wilderness with this dream. Remember of the ladder to heaven and the angels going up and down. Another Old Testament X-File story, which is wonderful. Now, Genesis 32, Jacob has been gone for many years. He left fleeing for his life, a single man with no wealth. He's coming back now, a married man with great wealth. Thing that's common in both journeys, leaving and coming, is Esau. Because Jacob knows his brother's going to be waiting for him when he comes back. He's going to have to deal with his brother. He ran away from him before, but now he's got to face him. And he's terrified. He's terrified. So that's the setting here. That night, Jacob got up, took his two wives. He's about to enter into the promised land again, back home. And he sent his family and his servants to safety. And then in verse 23, it says, after he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Aren't you glad I explained that? A man comes to him. He's all by himself. It's the night before he's maybe going to go and lose his life. He's terrified. And a man wrestles with him. Now, it's interesting, in this passage and then in other passages of Scripture in the book of Hebrews, the prophet Hosea, that refer back to this, they call this man different things. They call him an angel in one place. Here they call him a man. Who was he? Who was he really? It was God. And Jacob comes in this passage to recognize that it was God. And it was not just God, it was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God is a member of, he consists of three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is the only one that is incarnate. This is pre-incarnate Jesus. It's called a Christophany or a theophany, but specifically Christ. I believe it was specifically Christ. And I think Christ appeared in other places, pre-incarnate in the Old Testament. The captain of the hosts of Israel, I think, is the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're reading through the conquest. There are many occasions of this. I know it's weird, but just believe me, okay? This is Jesus. This is Jesus. It's not a man. It's not an angel. It's Jesus. And Jesus comes and wrestles with Jacob. Now, what on earth is that all about? I mean, Eric Von Erich, WrestleMania. I can get all into professional wrestling. But Jesus and Jacob, one of the patriarchs of Israel, what on earth is going on here? I'll tell you what's going on. Jesus wants to bless Jacob. But before he can bless Jacob, he's got to break Jacob. And that's what's going on here. So let's go back through here, and I want to determine with you from the text what it is that Jesus breaks when he wrestles with us. And then we're going to talk about the two reasons that God does the breaking, the two results of the breaking, okay? So what does God break when he wrestles with us? The first thing is this: pride. It's our pride. He breaks our pride. That's the whole point of it. The pride that insulates us from genuine repentance. Repentance. You see, whenever you and I, as Christ followers, find ourselves in confusing times in our lives, when it seems not only like the Lord has left us, but maybe even that he has come against us, that maybe he is opposing us. And you know what I mean? If you follow the Lord for any amount of time, you go through these seasons, and I believe the breaking of our pride is not a once for all thing. I think it's something that Jesus comes and wrestles with us whenever he's needed. Whenever God comes to us to wrestle with us, it feels so confusing to us. It feels so discouraging to us. And some of you know what I mean. It feels like you're trying to do this for the Lord and God is saying, I'm shutting the door on you. It feels like you want to have blessings in your life in this area and it seems like God is just removing them from you. It's so confusing. It's so difficult. But understand that in these times, Jesus is coming not to harm you, but to help you by breaking your pride, because your pride is what's keeping you from the blessing of God. Verse 26, then the man said to Jacob, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? That's a funny answer to Jacob's request for a blessing. I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. You would expect yes or no. But instead, what you get is, what is your name? What is your name? What is your name? Jacob, he answered. Now, what's going on here? Jacob, Yaakov, the name, you know what it means if you were here last week. His very name means cheater, deceiver, cheater, deceiver. And Jacob had earned that name in his whole lifestyle since he stole his brother's birthright, since he defrauded his father, Isaac, went on to cheat his uncle, Laban, who was also a pretty good cheater himself. I mean, those two were up against each other the best. Now he's coming back and he's probably got in mind some other way to cheat Esau to let him live. Jesus wants to know from Isaac that Isaac is willing to acknowledge his character as a cheater and a deceiver. In other words, repentance leads to blessing and forgiveness. And God cannot extend grace to those who refuse it, by refusing to acknowledge their pride. What is your name? What is your name? When Jacob uttered his name, my name is Jacob, he was repenting. He was acknowledging before this God who was wrestling from a loving heart with him. He was acknowledging to him his own sinful pride. My name is Jacob. And that's what brought about the blessing, was his acknowledgement. Had he not repented, he would not have received the blessing. Roberta Hestines puts this beautifully when she writes, brokenness is a yielded heart open before God, a heart emptied of pride and self-sufficiency. In brokenness, we discover ourselves again to be hungry and thirsty, poor and needy, when we thought ourselves to be full and needing nothing but ourselves in our pride. Along with this awareness comes a rediscovery of God's love, mercy, and forgiveness, his affirmation of us, his care for us, and his claim upon us. My friends, I've lived long enough on this planet following Christ to know this, that without regular repentance and humbling of my pride, that pride only grows stronger and stronger. And that as that pride grows stronger and stronger, it more and more removes me from the place of God's blessing. And so what a joy, what a grace from Jesus to come into our lives and say, hey, it's time to hit the mat. We're going to the mat. It's time for a little wrestling here. And it's confusing at first because we think, why is he wrestling with me? Until you realize it's because he loves you and he wants to bless you. And he's got to break your pride before he does. I wonder, my friends, brothers and sisters, this morning, especially those of you who are in a wrestling match with God right now, and you don't know what that means. You will know what that means if you're in one. What is your name? Are you willing to acknowledge it before God? What does God break when he wrestles with us? First of all, pride that insulates us from genuine repentance. Second, autonomy, independence, that inoculates us against God's blessing. Verse 25, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Do you see how contradictory that first sentence is? He could not overpower him, so he just overpowered him. Notice the restraint of Jesus. He could have put Jacob down. But that wasn't his point. His point was to lead Jacob to a point of repentance and dependence where he could bless him. Notice the restraint of God in wrestling. But when it became obvious that Jacob was going to be insistent and insolent in his pride and in his self-sufficiency, he just went ahead and just kind of did this to his hip. Boom. Hip's out of joint. And it's not just the hip, it's the whole thigh muscle. It's the strongest musculature and skeletal formation in the whole human body right here. And that's what Jesus just touched. And instantly, Jacob became crippled and would stay crippled for life. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limp. He was limping because of his hip. When Jacob refused to self-willingly acknowledge his dependence and his need on God, instead seeking to reap the rewards of his own intellect and prowess, Jesus touched him at that point. Jesus touched him at his strongest point. That hip, that strongest point of his body, represented his strength, his human ability, his human intellect. All the things that you and I have going for us that we tend to submit as the reason that we should be blessed is because of what we can do. God says, no. You can achieve certain things. You can be blessed in certain ways as a result of how smart you are and how gifted you are and how hard you work and how talented you are. All that physical strength that's represented right here. But that's not enough to purchase in your life the fruitfulness and the blessing that I want for you, which is 100 times more than you can get for you, but which you will only have if you reconnect to me and submit to me and not rely on your own strength. I love this. Jesus is just going with him. He's just letting him wrestle him. And it's like a professional wrestler with a little 3-year-old grandson just playing with him on the mat. And he just wrestles and wrestles and wrestles. Jesus was trying to bring Jacob to the point of not only acknowledging his sinfulness, but recognizing the futility of his own autonomy. Jacob, you think you can, you went up there and you made this fortune by your own deceit. And now you're going back and you think you can just become the king of the mountain because of your own skills and because of your own salesmanship ability. And so God touched him God touched him at the point of his strength so that Jacob would realize that he needed God's strength. I need God's strength. You need God's strength. What I love about this story is God steadfastly refused to yield to Jacob's strength, but he willingly was overcome by Jacob's repentance. The prophet Isaiah refers to this story in Hosea 12, 3 and 4. In the womb, he grasps, he's talking about Jacob, he grasps his brother's heel, Esau. As a man, he struggled with God, the river Jabbok. He struggled with the angel, that's Jesus, Christophany, and overcame him. He overcame him? How did he overcame him? He wept and begged for his favor. How did Jacob overcome the angel, which is Jesus, in this wrestling match? Not by winning, but by losing. He overcame him by weeping. He was made aware of the futility of his own ability and strength to achieve what God wanted him to achieve. And so he lost the wrestling match. And in tears, he's weeping that he lost it. But he could also have been weeping tears of joy because in losing it, he won it. This is how it works with wrestling matches with Jesus. You will win that match if you lose. Don't you ever win that match. Lose it because that's how you win it. So why does God break our self-sufficient pride? He breaks our pride, he breaks our self-sufficiency. Why? There are two reasons. And this is where we're shifting back to the good news. The first reason that God breaks our self-sufficient pride is to transform us, is to change us. Verse 28, then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jesus changes his name. Jesus transforms Jacob because a name represents character. And Jesus is saying, your name has been Jacob, deceiver, cheater, dissembler, but I'm transforming you. And with the transformation of your character comes a new name, Israel. One who has struggled with God and has overcome. Now, it's interesting because that name Israel actually means two things at once. In the old King James versions and several other Bible translations, the name was always presented as one who prevails with God. One who prevails with God. But the name literally means God prevailing over men. I mean, how can it be both at the same time? Well, just by what I explained to you. It is in God's prevailing over Jacob, leading him to repentance and leading him to reconnect at the point of his weakness, which was his strength. And he's realizing, I can't do what God wants me to do by myself. It is when God prevailed over Jacob that Jacob prevailed in the wrestling match with God. Because having humbled Jacob and having brought him to forgiveness and repentance, God blessed Jacob and he was a winner all the way home. God goes to the mat with us to transform us. That's why it's so important, my friends, when you get yourself in a wrestling mat, when you're slugging it out with God, and you know what I mean if you're going through it. I've been through it many times in my life. When you're in the middle of that thing, the most important thing is that you don't win. Because winning for you would mean holding out on God, refusing to acknowledge your sin, refusing to acknowledge your need for God all the time. And you can hold out and you can resist and you will miss every good thing that God has for you. Don't do that. What I've discovered is that people who resist God's breaking of their pride usually get broken in the wrong place. You go through these times of wrestling with God. You go through these confusing times when it just seems like nothing's working the way it's supposed to. And here, you're trying to follow Christ. You're trying to have a ministry. You're trying to do something good for the world. And it seems like he's just opposing you. But if you stop the process of self-examination and repentance for sin and for autonomy from God and trying to do this on your own strength instead of using his strength, if you refuse to be broken in that area, it is inevitable that you will be broken in other areas. And the area that I find most people get broken in when they resist God's breaking of their pride is they get broken in their emotions. They become wounded spiritually. They become bitter people who all they can do now is to look back on how God did not answer my prayer and how I'm forever mad at him and I'm going my own way. Let God break you in your pride or else you'll get broken in your emotions. So that's it. God breaks us of our pride and autonomy so that he can transform us and so that he can bless us. Look at verse 26. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." He's a stubborn old cuss, isn't he? Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. Then he blessed. Can I just point out that God did not go to the mat to wrestle with Jacob so that he could love Jacob? He didn't take Jacob to the point of breaking his pride and his autonomy so that Jacob would be cleansed of his sin and make him presentable to God to love him. No, it's just the opposite. Jesus went to the mat with Jacob because he loved him already. And if you're in a wrestling match with God right now in your life, it's not because God is trying to somehow knock the bad stuff out of you so he can love you. He already loves you, and that's why he's wrestling with you. Jacob was truly blessed by God, because God is the one who initiated the blessing. And only those who are truly blessed by God are truly blessed. Over in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter, I think, probably summarizes the truth of the story of Jacob and his wrestling match with Jesus all night long on the Jabbok River better than anywhere else. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. "All of you," Peter says, "clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes" what? "The proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he," watch this, "may lift you up in due time. He does this not to harm you, but to help you and to bless you," to lift you up in due time. "You can cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." looking back in my life, I think the closest thing that I can find in my life to Jacob wrestling with Jesus on the banks of the Jabbok River happened back on October the 7th, 1986. That's when my third daughter, Bonnie Caroline, was born. She was not born in a normal way. Alice was having some difficulties in her pregnancy when she was carrying Bonnie. She went into her doctor one day, and the doctor took her blood pressure, and it was like off the charts, off the charts. She had toxemia, preeclampsia. It's a condition that usually strikes first-time mothers, but this was a third time for Alice, and so it was a great mystery how this hit and why it hit. But the fact was, the doctor was so afraid that she might stroke out that he called me on the phone and he said, "You got to get over here. We got a decision to make. We got to take this baby, because the only cure for toxemia and the high blood pressure, the only cure is the birth of the baby." Essentially, what he was telling me over the phone that day was, you got to make a choice between the life of your baby and the life of your wife, because the baby is really early. He didn't have any confidence, much confidence at all, that they could take an almost three-month early child and help her live. So I'm driving over there. I'm the associate pastor at a little church over in Garland that we'd helped start while we were in seminary. And I'm driving over there, and I'm just thinking, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I get there, and the doctor says, here's the choices. I think we need to take the baby with a C-section right away. And so we said, yes, let's do it. But our hearts were burdened for the little one. We didn't even know it was a little girl. And so in the prep for the C-section, they did some sonogram, and they found out it was a little girl. And Alice and I huddled together. We gave her a name. Bonnie. And I called her name back to our church in a prayer group. I said, "Pray for little Bonnie Caroline." And as I went into the surgery there, and I stood there and I watched Dr. Mitch Velker make the incision, pull this little girl out. She weighed a pound, 13 ounces. I heard God asking me, "What is your name?" Here the doctor says, "What do you want to do?" And I'm going, "There's nothing I can do. There's nothing any of us can do." This was at a time in my life. I had just graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. And I was a hot shot. I thought I was. Dean's list. Highest honors. Awards. I just graduated. And then this doctor asked me, "What are you going to do?" And I realized in that moment, I'm not a hot shot. I'm proud. I'm not a hot shot. I'm autonomous. And when I went into that operating room and I saw my little girl come out, it was kind of funny. I was wearing a surgical mask, right? And the dam just broke, man. I just started weeping, snot, tears, everything. The mask got saturated. It's dripping off down my front and on the floor. And one of the nurses had to ask me, "Please don't get over the patient here. You're making a mess over here." It was like God was asking me, "What is your name?" And instead of saying, "I'm a hotshot young theologian," I said, "I'm weak and needy." That was one of my Jabbok rivers. That's probably the biggest one. I've had a few since. God spared Bonnie. She grew up. Now she's serving the Lord overseas in East Asia. Three months later, she came home right at Christmas from the NICU unit. And then about a month after that, I got a call on the phone. There's this little church over there on Finley Road in Irving, Texas. They're looking for a pastor. We came as senior pastor to Irving Bible Church when she, Bonnie, was 6 months old. And for all the 31 years that we've been here, Bonnie Caroline has been a constant reminder to me what my name is. What joy to see what God will do if you make sure you lose to him in the wrestling match. And that you keep your pride broken and you keep your dependence in the power of God. That's what all of this is about. And so we come to the Lord's table. We're going to celebrate the broken body of Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus in the elements of the Lord's Supper. And I want to connect that to what we've been talking about over here with Jacob wrestling with God. You see, it was Jesus wrestling with Jacob. And what a lot of us Christians do when we first get in the wrestling match with Jesus is, Jesus, why are you hurting me? Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you stopping this pain? Why aren't you giving me a way out? Why, Jesus? Why, Jesus? Why, Jesus? You realize what these elements represent is Jesus sacrificing himself for us. We should not charge him with leaving us alone and not helping us. We are going to honor him today for laying his own life down to help us and to empower us, to forgive us. That's what this means. And so in the night in which he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. He blessed it, gave thanks for it. And he said, this is my body which is given for you. I'm the one on the wrestling mat. I'm the one on the cross. Later he took the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me. Someday we'll drink it anew together in the kingdom of heaven. Let's honor and worship him by receiving these elements now.